our guy Nick Alberga from Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet 590 The Fan lies on that front. Since last Friday, Mr. Alberga, with as crazy as the lead up to round one of the draft was and still busy the next day on the Saturday, and then boom, Wednesday, and all of the news that we were pounded with a couple of days ago. I personally can't remember a stretch this crazy in terms of NHL news.
No, you're totally right, Pat, and it's great to be with you once again. It really is unprecedented, and I think you even see today with Major League Baseball's trade deadline that there seems to be a bit more norm, if you want to call it, with life. And I understand COVID is still very much a thing in this world, but it seems like we're on the other side of it, which is always tremendous news, obviously, and you can get that from what the market and what's happening there. You know, obviously, you look at free agency, the money being splashed around, the trades, all the activity across sports. Like, you get that sense. But certainly, I can't remember maybe the last decade, maybe you can, where there's been this much movement in this little time. It's great to see, quite frankly, yeah, in my opinion.
It's been awesome, and I honestly can't. So it has been a lot of fun to cover. So hopefully, I mean, there's not much else to do when you think about it, but hopefully we're not done when it comes to big news around the NHL. We've got some news today. What was your reaction to that Ryan Reeves trade? He goes from Vegas to the New York Rangers for a 2022 third-round pick.
Yeah, I really feel like the Rangers are overthinking the Tom Wilson problem. Like, somebody's got to tell them they got 77 other games that are not against the Washington Capitals. And, of course, we all do remember late in the season, you know, the Tom Wilson bullying incident with Artemi Panarin and company. Well, you look at that Rangers roster from then to now, they've definitely muscled up. They signed Jared Tenorti. They brought in a gritty type like Barclay Goodrow over from the Tampa Bay Lightning organization. Obviously, you bring in Ryan Reeves right now. Suffice it to say, if you're into gambling and prop bets, I think it's pretty safe to say that game one next year between Washington and the Rangers is going to be a scrap, and it's likely going to be Ryan Reeves and Tom Wilson. But I just think they're overthinking it a tad, and in the fact that you could probably beat the Capitals on the scoreboard as opposed to getting fixated with Tom Wilson. In my opinion, that's exactly what he wants, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's certainly, and everybody, the first thing that you saw was, oh, Tom Wilson broke the New York Rangers, and yeah. I think that you can see why people are making that connection. And then there's, you know, on the other side of that trade, Vegas loses Ryan Reeves. They get a good asset for him. It's been an interesting last few days for the Golden Knights. Obviously, the Marc-Andre Fleury trade, which gave them a little bit of salary room. They make the trade with Ottawa for Evgeny Dadonov. But a lot of people wondering, are they positioning for something bigger? Are they positioning for a guy by the name of Jack Eichel? What do you make of Vegas's offseason to this point?
Yeah, you certainly never know, right? Especially Vegas and the track record this organization has built up in, what, 4 years of being in this league. I quite frankly like what they've done so far. And, like, first and foremost, this notion out there about loyalty, you know, people just bitching and complaining about the handling of Marc-Andre Fleury. This is not 1995. You throw loyalty out the window. And I'm sorry to say that. I love Marc-Andre Fleury just like anybody else, but it's a business. And players will tell you that. Agents will tell you that. Teams will tell you that. It's no longer a thing of a guy staying with the same team for his entire career. It's just a lot different. But from that standpoint, you look at this offseason for Vegas. Obviously, it was paramount. I think they had to move some money out in between the pipes. So it starts there. You move Marc-Andre Fleury. You bring in Laurent Brossoit, who's profoundly the backup now to Robin Leonard. I like the Evgeny Dadonov pickup. I really just never thought he got going with Ottawa. I thought it was a weird signing to begin with, but you trade out Nick Holden. So you bring Dadonov in there. There's way more depth now. Like, even the Nolan Patrick move is enticing to me. But certainly, like, I wouldn't put out of the realm of possibility that they're still after Jack Eichel, because they have pieces. Like, and we don't know truthfully what Buffalo is searching or looking for in a potential trade for Jack Eichel with Vegas. But you would have to think like a guy like Marchessault or William Carlson would be a part of that conversation, right? So from that standpoint, I just don't think you can ever rule out the Vegas Golden Knights, and I think they want to wrong their rights or right their wrongs from the last couple of years where they really, really couldn't score when it mattered most in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Where does Eichel end up? What are you hearing? What does your gut say? What does the future hold for Jack?
Look, from day one, I've been saying that patience is a virtue. And with that, I mean, you know, everybody with the Buffalo Sabres, Kevin Adams, the GM, of course, that you've got to be patient with this transaction. And it's just a murky move to make considering the season Jack Eichel A is coming off and B the injury he's coming off, right? I think they're looking for a certain value, and I applaud them for that, but I just don't know if they're going to build a market for a guy who's coming off a pretty serious neck injury. I honestly think it would be the more wiser idea, and who knows if Jack Eichel would be open to it, although I could say, hey, you don't show up, we don't pay you kind of thing, unless he can prove he's injured. But I wait to start the season. I put Eichel out there and see if he can do his thing and build up his market and his value. We've seen it time and time again. I always like to bring up the name Rick Nash. Well, you can look at that deal. Maybe it didn't work out so much for Columbus, but they were really, really, really patient. Matt Duchene is another example with the Colorado Avalanche. So just because everybody's trying to build the market and say, hey, this has to happen now, I think patience is huge. And ultimately, I still got a circle in the New York Rangers. I think you talk about assets and what Buffalo is looking for is what the New York Rangers have to give. You know, Alexi Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko. Like, they have a deal ready to be made if they want to right now. Now I think it's up to the Rangers and maybe working their ego a bit if you're the Buffalo Sabres trying to build that market. Because ultimately, I have a feeling they're going to circle back because I don't think there's a greater package out there than there could be here from the New York Rangers. How do you feel about it?
Well, the only other team that I think could match the Rangers in terms of a package would be the Ducks because their first-round pick for the next year or two probably still going to be high. And if the Ducks were willing to include one of Drysdale and Zegras, then I think that probably puts it over. But we've also heard from Friedge and other insiders that the Ducks are very wary in doing that. So I think the Ducks could beat a package. The Kings probably could, too, with all their prospects. But their signing of Philippe Deneau probably takes him out of it. So, I think the Ducks would be the one.
Yeah, and to your point, certainly I think Anaheim makes a lot of sense. But, it's not even puzzling. I understand where teams are coming from. They know what they're probably getting in Jack Eichel, but I want to see him play. And that's why I think you're seeing right now a stalemate with conversations. And I think the longer this goes on, the likelier he's going back to Buffalo next season and has to prove himself because – it's quite clear, and Anaheim's made it clear from day one that they're not going to deal Drysdale, or obviously Zegras. I think maybe it starts with Max Comtois. I don't even know if they want to deal Comtois. So I think you're Buffalo, you're waiting for that top-notch prospect, whether it be Lafreniere from the Rangers or a guy like Drysdale from the Anaheim Ducks. I don't think you make the deal unless you get a concrete return you're happy with, obviously. I don't think you're going to rush to make this trade, truthfully. Yeah.
Nick Alberg is with us as we continue along on the big show this afternoon, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What'd you make of that Zach Werenski deal? He is now the third highest AAV in the NHL, 6 years times 9.583.
So I'm a conspiracy theorist. I thought it was an indirect jab at Seth Jones. You look at that AAV, how is Zach Werenski, granted he's 24, now making a higher AAV than Seth Jones, who... granted, eating up some years, certainly in terms of UFA status, and he's a bit older. But I think it was an indirect jab. Honestly, I think Columbus at this point, considering how many players they've lost in the last 5, 6, 7 years, have to overpay. I think you look at the body of work and the resume at Zach Werenski and say, okay, he's got the most goals as a blue liner in Columbus Blue Jackets history with 65 since entering the league in 2016. I believe he's got the third most goals or the most goals among defensemen. So he's been a solid guy, but Pat, the way I see it, if you're paying a guy in excess of $9.5 million, he better be controlling a game. And I watch a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets hockey. Obviously, I'm into fantasy pucks, so that's a big reason why. And I watch Zach Werenski, and I say, this guy's a pretty damn good defenseman, but how much does Seth Jones make this guy better? How much does that system make Zach Werenski play? So that's my major league wonder with that contract moving forward. If you're making that much money, you better be noticeable every night if you're Zach Werenski. And obviously, kudos to him and his agent for landing that deal, but I think there had to be a slight overpay, I should say, for that to happen with Columbus.
Well, and credit to our colleague Chris Johnston, who put this on Twitter last night, but five of the top nine AAVs among defensemen in the NHL have been signed this month. When you look at Werenski, we mentioned Seth Jones, Miro Heiskanen, and Cale Makar, and as an unrestricted free agent, Dougie Hamilton. Five of the top nine this month alone. Like, it has been a good month to be a defenseman.
Oh, it really has. A right-handed shooting defenseman at that. I know Werenski's a lefty, but certainly, we thought back, 2 weeks ago, and people were mystified at the Miro Heiskanen contract, and all of a sudden, it's like a steal. I wonder even next offseason or potentially this offseason, John Klingberg, what's that contract looking at? Certainly, there's conversation, I would say, John Klingberg may be involved in a potential deal Obviously, with Columbus, that didn't come to fruition for Seth Jones. And ultimately, we saw Adam Boakvisko from Chicago. So it was quite clear they're trying to replace Jones a bit. But I can only wonder what these guys coming up, namely John Klingberger, are going to get, because they have to be happy. But I think they have Thomas Chabot to thank a lot from a couple of years back in that, what, 8x8 deal he signed?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of, again, reset the market for young defensemen. And here are guys reaping the benefits of it a couple years later. We're in conversation with Nick Alberga from Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan as we take a spin around what we've seen the last 48 hours or so in NHL free agency 2021. Seattle has been active. Like, they have been signing players since they have been allowed to, going back to the expansion draft when they inked Oleksiak and they brought in Larson and Driedger, and then in unrestricted free agency, Philip Grubauer and Jaden Schwartz and Wennberg. This has been a very busy team in free agency. What do you make of expansion draft and free agent approach from Ron Francis and the Kraken?
So I told myself I'd be careful with quick analysis work on the Seattle Kraken, more so because of what happened with Vegas, right? They draft the team and everybody's like, wow, this team's garbage. They're going to be the worst team in the league. And while they utilize sort of the advantage they had to their benefit and stockpiling assets now, I certainly see, you know, it's becoming more clear what the picture was from the onset. It was nothing close to what Vegas was doing. And I guess in the long run, we'll find out. But pretty much Seattle is using their cap space to their benefit. We've seen that in some of the deals you mentioned. The Grubauer one caught me off guard because I looked at Chris Driedger and said, hey, finally, this guy's going to get an opportunity. It was tough for him all year, especially at Spencer Knight coming up late in the season. You have the Albatross contract that is Sergei Bobrovsky. He can't sit that guy on the bench. I get it. And now he signs in Seattle. I'm like, hey, it's going to be him and Vanecek. And then all of a sudden they signed Grubauer. But I understand. That's them flexing their muscles. The fact that they had cap space and were willing to go probably a mil more and maybe a year more than most teams, I think allowed them to lock in Philip Grubauer. So from what we've seen so far with that team, they're big and heavy on the back end. I think they're going to be tough to play against. And they're going to be strong defensively, especially with what we know about Dave Hextall. So I think right away you're going to spot Seattle into this league and that division specifically, and I think they're going to contend for a playoff spot. We're at that point. And quite honestly, I just don't think they're done. Like, I think there's a lot of moves ahead, whether it be parlaying some of the, you know, the guys they chose up front or on the back end into trades now, similar to what we've seen the last couple of days. I still think they're going to be busy. I know they were involved at some sort with Casey Cizikas, who is technically still a UFA, but he's not going to Seattle as far as we know. So we'll see what's in store. But the picture is becoming clearer and clearer by the day that they have a vision, and I respect that. So I'm going to reserve judgment for now, Pat.
I know how big into analytics you are, but some of the analytic projections have Seattle making the playoffs. A few of them I've seen have Seattle projected to make the playoffs this year. It looks like they'll be a competitive group.
Pat, you know, the amazing thing is like, we've talked about this ad nauseum throughout our hits this season. Like, we both concur that analytics is a tool. But every time something happens in the NHL, the first post I see is charts and graphs of a player. How about show me a highlight? Show me a shift. You know, we got to utilize social media to our advantage. And I just think it's pretty surreal the times we live in that automatically we get a chart thrown out there about Seth Jones. I said this from the beginning. I'll take Seth Jones. I think obviously it's a rich contract. The analytics community does not like the player, but give me Seth Jones every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I think it's a useful tool, but it's not everything. Case in point, Arizona. Case in point, the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not everything, and I think it should be left at that.
I like Seth Jones, the player, too. I don't know if I like him at 8x9.5, but I do like the player, and definitely could be on my team. A few more rapid fire with Nick Alberga from Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thoughts from 2,000 kilometers away on what the Flames have done.
It's been intriguing. I think you'd probably agree. I don't know if they're done. Like, I've been waiting for that shoe to drop in Calgary for like 4 years now. Disappointing season after disappointing season. I don't know if it's Johnny Gaudreau. I don't know if it's Sean Monahan. I just don't think you come back with that top six. Now, I'm always curious when a player signs at peak value the way, you know, Coleman did. I think it's a good signing. I think he fits in perfectly with Calgary, but now comes along that pressure of playing to that contract, and that's the big question for me. Can he live up to the expectation of that monster deal now he signs with Calgary? But he certainly had fight, great PK guy. Like, I think his DNA is perfect for what he can bring and that roster in Calgary. Having said that, like, the Zadorov pickup as well is intriguing on the back end. They want to play heavy. They want to play that setter style. I just don't think it's conducive to having success in there, Sarah. I guess we'll find out next season with another tour and spin here with Sutter. But I don't think Calgary's done by any stretch. I think what we're going to start to see is Sutter continue to mold this roster the way he wants to see it.
We know Toronto has lost Zach Hyman to Edmonton. We'll get to the Oilers in a second, but Hyman is gone. We don't know what Joe Thornton's future is looking like. They have obviously revamped their goaltending going into next year. What do you make of Kyle Dubas and the Maple Leafs, the team you cover on a daily basis, and what they've done to this point?
So I would say similar to Colorado, and I'm not comparing the two teams. I think Colorado's a way better hockey club and has a better chance of winning the Cup sooner than a Toronto Maple Leafs team. But I think they've been stripped a bit of their depth, and we expected this. Like, I think ultimately that roster we saw post-deadline was the best Maple Leafs roster we'll see in the next year. We've seen in the last 15, 20 years. Like, it was stacked. It was deep, and they choked. So I think, obviously, there's got to be casualties along the way when it comes to if you want to pay that big four the money and you don't want to trade them and you want to stand by it. And, you know, they're doubling down, and I get it. This is a crucial, crucial season coming up for the Maple Leafs. But from that perspective, there was going to be casualties. I've said from day one, kudos to Zach Hyman. He earned every penny of that contract. I think he's going to love it in Edmonton playing with Connor McDavid. Not every day do you see a guy going from playing with Austin Matthews to Connor McDavid.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he's a good fit in Edmonton, and they're going to love his character and what he does in the community with that team. But I think you look at this Leafs roster, I still think it's flawed, Pat. I truthfully feel like this team cannot be successful with the way it's currently consummated. Too top-heavy, and I still have concerns in between the pipes. Like, I like Peter Mrazek, but the intriguing thing to me, so he switches places with Freddie Anderson, another guy who's been unable to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And again, it's the nature of the pyramid they built there. They can't find a guy like a Markstrom who's going to be your bona fide starter in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Freddie had lots of – there was lots of hype when he got there, but you're right. Upon donning that jersey, has not been able to get it done in the postseason. So, yeah, that I'm curious if the Maple Leafs have anything else to do. I don't know if the Oilers have anything else to accomplish between now and the start of training camp. They bring in Hyman. I'm with you. I think that's a glove-like fit on their forward group. I'm a little more interested on what they're doing on the blue line. They've definitely reshaped it. I don't know if they're better, but they've reshaped their blue line. What's your feel on the Oilers with the blue line and the acquisition of Hyman?
Yeah, I love that word interested because I'm right there with you as well. The interesting factor for me is, like, never mind the blue line. Like, there's no way you come back with Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen for a third straight year. It's not working. You can score 6 goals a game. The opponent's going to score 7. That's the problem right now with the Oilers roster, right? I think they have to acquire a goalie first and foremost and maybe another defenseman. I didn't see enough from Mikko Koskinen in the last couple of years to suggest that guy's going to have, you know, that backbone, if you will, to lead that team somewhere in the playoffs. I think Mike Smith's a good 1B guy, if you want to call him that. He's a little longer in the tooth, gets a nice contract, and I get it, had a really, really good year. But I think there's no way, at least in my opinion, if I'm Kenny Holland, I find a way to get a goalie. I know today they've been linked to Jonas Korpisalo with Columbus. Alexander Georgiev could be had. They're going to have to pay a pretty penny because they tried to wait this market out a la what Colorado did, or excuse me, what Arizona did with Darcy Kuemper. So I like what they've done. I think they've addressed some needs in terms of depth up front. Again, I think it's still underrated. I know they paid him, but Zach Hyman's going to be huge for that team. I like the Warren Fogle pickup, although I don't like the loss of Ethan Bear. But I think ultimately your goaltending could mask a lot of the deficiencies you have. And I look right now and I look at Mike Smith and more so Mikko Koskinen. And I have my deep doubts, I'll say, about Edmonton. I don't care who they have on that roster up front.
Anything else that really catches your eye or that you're looking for down the road here as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I would say Colorado and Joe Sakic showing that he's sort of human, right? I think every year we sort of see Joe Sakic and the type of moves he's made, you know, Devon Taves among them, and you start to wonder, like, he keeps fleecing GM after GM, and then all of a sudden... he makes this type of move with Darcy Kuemper, and I understand Philip Grubauer dragged him through the mud of it in terms of conversations. That's what happens sometimes in UFA, so you better work quickly. And ultimately, because they didn't want to go 1 mil more, you know, with Philip Grubauer, they end up giving up a first and Connor Timmins on the back end because they didn't want to do that, right? So I think Joe Sakic looks a bit human. I think Colorado's not as good as they were, say, 2 months ago, but how many times have we seen teams and we don't expect them to go far, they go far? The Capitals are a perfect example. The year after, they were completely stacked, didn't do anything. is the year they won the Stanley Cup. So I think that's what a lot of teams are hoping for, that they finally push through. And nonetheless, it's been such an intriguing offseason, and it's going to take a long, long time to decompress everything that's happened here, Pat.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Great stuff, Nick. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Take care, everybody.